Amen. Praise the Lord. I like what I feel in here today. Thank God for the presence of the Lord. I have to admit that in my flesh I'm a bit tired, a bit weary, but the help of the Holy Ghost is going to get me through this today. And I do believe I do have a word for you, and I'm going to do my best by the help of the Holy Spirit to deliver it unto you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to, I want to go to two different scriptures. We're going to look first at John chapter 1, and we will be reading verses 4 through 9. And then I want you to go to 1 John chapter 1, and we'll read verses 5 through 6. So first we're going to look at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verses 4 through 9. Then we'll look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. Hopefully that doesn't confuse you. Praise God. When you get there, say amen. John chapter 1, verse 4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And then I want to look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 5 and 6. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Today I just have a simple message unto you, and that is, walk in the light. We need to walk in the light, and I already know that the presence of God is here, and he's always here. And I just want us to get into a position where we are receptive to what God has to say, and that the Lord would fill my words with his inspiration, and that it would minister unto you today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you right now, humbly. We submit ourselves to you. We surrender unto you in this moment. You're already moving in our midst. You're already working. And Father, I pray, help me to continue that work. Help me to speak your word under the unction of the Holy Spirit. I pray that the listeners, their hearts would be pricked. They'd be convicted. They'd be challenged. They would be, oh God, attracted unto the cross where they can find, oh God, help in the time of need. And we just pray in the name of Jesus that there'd be no distractions. There'd be no disruptions. There'd be nothing, oh God, to inhibit the word of God from going forth. Have your way today. We love you. We worship you. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you. We glorify you. We exalt you. We adore you, God, in all that you do. We bless your name today. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You have to help me. I'm running about 2 or 3 hours of sleep. And so work with me today. If I sound a little bit incoherent, just to say amen anyway. Praise God. Amen. But I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. That's a passage of scripture we're all familiar with. I want to talk to you about light. I think that it is a very amazing property in that it's so fundamental. It's something we take for granted. But if you actually do some research into it, it's an amazing property that exists, this idea of light. And I want to talk about where light first originated from, where it's talked about in creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." I think it's interesting that the very first thing God created was light. And the question we should ask ourselves is, why is that? Now, it's been proposed that God created light first so that he could see everything else that he was going to create. But I would submit into a different theory. Because God is light, he emanates light. The verse I read at the beginning, 1 John 1, 5, which said that this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God did not need to create light in order for him to create anything else. Secondly, even if he was not light, let's say that he was in the dark. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee, that God has night vision, that he can see in the darkest times. Doesn't matter how dark or opaque or the situation is or the circumstances or the environment is, that the Bible says that darkness is as light to God. So God did not create light as a first thing because he needed it to see everything else that he was creating. But there is a reason as to why he did so. Why did he create light first? Because light is a fundamental property to everything that exists. It is the basis for how our universe functions. All the laws of physics, everything, the way that our universe operates, is based on the properties and the ideas of light. Everything, this is something that really is very interesting to me. You're going to get a little bit of a science lesson today. But everything in the universe is either absorbing, reflecting, or emitting light. Everything. Even the pews that you're sitting on is emitting some type of light, and you can't actually see it. There's this thing about light, though, is that we only see a very small percentage of what's in the spectrum of light, and that's what we call visible light. That everything in the universe is emitting light, except a substance called dark energy and dark matter, but I'm not going to get into quantum physics. But anyway, we think that because it's dark and our eyes can't see, that there is no light or something doesn't exist, but in actuality, that is not the case. There is something that scientists have discovered. It's called the electromagnetic spectrum, and it is the range of frequencies of electromagnetic radiation in their respective wavelengths and photon energies. And I'll put this in layman's terms, that light is a wave that behaves also like a particle. In other words, imagine like an ocean. Imagine the sea or a body of water, and that there are waves that are happening in the body of water. And from the top or the crest of one wave to the next is called a wavelength, and that's basically what light is. It's made up of electricity, but it's also made up of magnetism, of magnetic energy. And we call that the electromagnetic spectrum. And what's in the electromagnetic spectrum, there are six other forms or types of light that our eyes cannot see. At the low end of the spectrum, there are radio waves. Yes, radio waves, that the radio that you listen to in the car is actually light that's being transmitted to your radio. Light, radio waves, there's microwaves, the stuff that we use to cook our food. There's infrared, which deals primarily with heat. Then, of course, there's the visible light spectrum, which we use to see. Then there is ultraviolet light, X-ray waves, and gamma waves. We only see one, which is visible light, but there are six other forms of light that we cannot see with our naked eye and make up the majority of the spectrum of light. Visible light, to give you an idea of how little we actually see, how much light we actually can see with the naked eye, visible light makes up 0.0035% of the electromagnetic spectrum. In other words, that's 0.03% of the visible light that we see. That's how much light, that's a very small sliver of light that we see. So 99.9965% of light is unseeable by the naked eye. Think of all the colors of the rainbow that there are. Think of all the things that we see in our visible light range. We're only seeing 0.03% of the actual light that exists. Everything that exists emits, either reflects, or it absorbs light. Now remember this. God said in his word in 1 John 1:5 that God is light and that there is no darkness in him. So when we're talking about light, we are also talking about God. And so the aspects of God that we can actually see throughout creation is a very small sliver of God's nature, of his grandeur, of his splendor, and of his majesty. And the fact of the matter is that we cannot see these other spectrums of light in the electromagnetic spectrum without using some sort of special instrumentation. So you can't see radio waves, even though right now in this room we are being bombarded by radio waves, AM, FM radio frequency, satellite radio, television, Wi-Fi, GPS, gamma radiation, X-ray radiation, infrared, all this stuff, ultraviolet. Right now, these waves are bombarding this room, are filled with this room. If our eyes were calibrated to those type of frequencies, we'd be seeing an array of colors that that we have never seen before. We only see a very small sliver of it. And what scientists have had to do is they've had to invent different instruments and technology in order to decode and to see these different waves that are inside of the entire universe. Whenever they look out into space and we only see darkness and blackness, when you look with a telescope with a spectrometer, you can see all these other colors, radio frequencies and waves that are out in the what we think is darkness. And the only way you can see these waves is with special instrumentation. And so since we only can see through the natural eye a very small sliver of light, we need special instrumentation. In the same sense that in the naked eye, we can only see very small aspects of God looking at creation. So God gave us an instrument to try and show us the rest of the spectrum of his light, of his glory. And we call that instrument his word, the word of God. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The word of God is the decoder ring that shows us the full spectrum of light, shows us the various waves that are in our universe that you cannot see with the natural eye. And so even though you walk into a dark room and you cannot see light, there is actually light emanating from every object, molecule, and atom that is within your vicinity. And that's why in our natural eye, we need something to see the spiritual, and that is the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. That the entrance of God's word introduces a new spectrum, allows us to see in the midst of darkness. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, that thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. And you might be thinking right now that the situation that you're confronting is darkness, but around you there is light that is there that you're unaware of, and the only way you can see it is in the word of God. The word of God exposes, it illuminates, it radiates, it manifests, it explains, it decodes and interprets our universe so that we can see reality clearly. All the things that are transpiring right now in this world are happening behind the scenes. There's a world that you cannot see with your eyes. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, right? While we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There are things happening that you cannot see. You're wondering as to why things are transpiring the way that they are. It's because there are light, there are waves, there are transmissions that are going around that you cannot see. There is communication. So, here's the thing. When Adam and Eve walked in fellowship with God, they could see God in a way that we cannot see. Because when Adam and Eve fell into sin, the Bible talks about that we fell into darkness. And the cause of this darkness came from one individual by the name of Lucifer. Lucifer literally means light bearer. Now, I find that very intriguing that a light bearer caused us to fall into darkness. But there are three reasons as to why we cannot see. One is obstruction. There is a source of light that is there, and there is something blocking us from seeing the light. The second reason is refraction, is that light travels through a medium such as a lens or something that bends its pathway and distorts the image so that you cannot see what's going on. The third reason is that although light is there, we lack the ability to detect or to sense it. What happened in the Garden of Eden, Satan, who was a light bearer, became distorted because he was lifted up by his arrogance and his pride. And because of that, he then began to disseminate and propagate his own distortion, his evil, to mankind. So he goes to Adam and Eve, and what does he do with the light of God's word? God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of the fruit of good and evil. Instead, he said, hath God said? What is he doing? He's refracting, he's distorting the image that God created. And because of that distorted image, mankind fell into darkness. And the only way that we could get out of darkness is by getting more instrumentation to help us to see clearly in the midst of our depravity. All of mankind is in utter darkness, even though light is around us. Light, as I just said before, that light is emanating and radiating everywhere, but people can't see it. The problem right now we have, let's say just using the United States of America, is not that they don't know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not that they've not heard that Jesus was buried and was raised from the dead, but it's that they lack the capacity to fully appreciate it or really sense it. The light of God is shining right now all around us, but they cannot see it because they've been blinded by something, particularly the prince of darkness. The Bible says, now, here's the thing. So throughout history, God sent prophets to speak his word that would illuminate mankind's understanding so that they could see the light. One, that they could see their own sinful condition. One of the horrible things about sin is that it is self-deluding. It is deceptive. It makes you feel like everything is okay when actually everything is wrong. It distorts your perception of reality and makes you think that you're righteous, makes you think that you're good, makes you think everything is okay when actually you're in imminent danger of destruction and even damnation and condemnation. And that's why the Word of God is dispensed to illuminate and to show us what we really are. The Word of God is a mirror that depicts and shows us how unrighteous, how depraved, and how wicked that we actually are. We have it in our ego that we're not so bad. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that the liar says, well, at least I don't steal. The thief says, well, at least I don't kill. Hallelujah. The murderer says, well, at least I don't rape women. And then the rapist says, well, at least I don't rape children. We compare ourselves to something we think is worse off than ourselves, distorting an image of what righteousness is supposed to be. And then we pat ourselves in the back like everything's okay. But then the Word of God comes into the picture and says, no, that all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All are unrighteous. All are in desperate and dire need of finding a Savior. You need Jesus Christ today if you don't have him. And that illumination begins to show us that we are in need of a Savior. So, throughout history, God sent prophets to describe this light, this character which we call God. But despite all the instrumentation, despite all the prophecies that went forth, mankind was still blinded and could not see fully the light of God. So God then decided, since I am the brightest thing that there is, I will come into the world, I will enter the earth realm, and I will radiate so men can see properly who I am. And that incarnation, that manifestation, we call Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That you cannot see God. God is a spirit, according to John 4:24, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says that no man has seen God at any time. We cannot see God in this spectrum, so to speak, with our natural eye. So God brought his essence, brought his goodness, brought his illumination, and put it in a body and called it Jesus. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That Jesus Christ was coming. That's what all the prophecies were saying. Hey, if you can't see this way, there's going to be a real lightning storm pretty soon. There's going to be a light that's going to illuminate your darkness that's coming down the way. And so the devil did everything he could to try and stop it. He did everything he could to thwart it, to obstruct it, to prevent it from coming. Because once man saw that it was in darkness, once it saw that it needed a Savior, that maybe it would leave his control and leave the kingdom of darkness. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the fact of the matter is, Satan has done everything he can to prevent people from seeing the truth of the gospel. Remember, I said there were three ways, three things that occur that prevent people from seeing. Number one, as I said, is obstruction, which means that there is an object that's in between you and the source of light. And because of that object being there, there is a shadow that is cast and there is darkness and you cannot see. And the devil today is trying to do everything he can to stand between you and Jesus. He's trying to do everything he can to prevent you from getting your eyes on God. I believe it's in Hebrews 12, where it says that looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, let us run this race with patience. And let us also, we need to lay aside every sin that does so easily beset us. We got to look at Jesus and quit looking at everything else. The enemy has crafted such a wonderful weapon to distract us and getting our eyes off of the light source so that we would remain in darkness and that we would never be set free. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll find liberty. I want to share an analogy. This is not my analogy, okay? I didn't make this up. I think the preacher that did it was, his last name is Bonkey. I think Bernard Bonkey. Sister Joanne shared this with me. But this minister, he was talking with this lady, and she said that she needed some deliverance from some things. It's all, every time she gets out of the bed, she just feels like she's in darkness, is what she said. And the minister was thinking, Bonkey was his name, he's like trying to figure out what the answer was, and the Holy Spirit gave him the answer. And basically, he just told her, you just need to turn around. She's like, what do you mean just turn around? Think of it this way. Look right now. I'm going to face this way. I'm going to face away. There's a light above me right now. And I'm facing away from the light. By facing away from the light, in front of me is a shadow. Which means everywhere I walk, there's darkness in front of me. But if I turn away around and I turn towards the light, the shadow, the darkness is behind me. If I walk away from Jesus, I am walking in darkness. Shadows are in front of me. But if I turn away and I walk towards Jesus, towards the light, darkness cannot catch me. It may follow me around, but it can't catch me. And that's why Jesus said, you got to walk in the light. Because if you don't walk in the light, darkness will overtake you. And everywhere you look, there will be shadows. There'll be darkness. James 1:17, I believe it says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That God wants you to walk in the light. He wants you to keep walking towards him and turn around from the darkness that's behind you. Quit worrying about yesterday. Quit worrying or concentrating on your sin or the darkness that's behind you. Turn to the light. Walk in the light. Do not let anything obstruct your view of the light. John chapter 1, verse 4. It says that in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Now, that Greek word there for comprehended. When we're reading this, it sounds like the darkness just didn't understand the light. But it actually means something far greater than that. It's not that the darkness was confused by light. It actually means that darkness could not extinguish the light. It says that, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. When Jesus came, no matter what powers and what things Satan tried to exercise, the light from coming, the light shone in the darkness. And the darkness could not put it out. He tried to inspire Herod to massacre him as a baby. Couldn't work. Even all the way through his life, they tried to kill him, but they couldn't put out the light until finally he laid down his life and allowed his light to be put out for temporary construction, so to speak. Because when he got up from the grave, he rose with a light that was so bright that it cannot be ignored. You cannot escape it. You cannot avoid it. Thank you, Jesus. Don't want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 1 just for a second. I'm trying to wrap this up. So, in the beginning, right, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, what I love about this text, and what is happening even now, is that the Spirit of God was moving in darkness. The Spirit of God was moving when there were no angels praising God. There was no one saying amen to God. No one crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. No one's worshiping God, but the Spirit of God was moving. It was moving in the midst of darkness. And even now, there are some of you in the sound of my voice that you are sitting in darkness. And the Holy Spirit is moving upon the face of the waters. You know your body is made of about 80% water? You're basically a bag of water sitting there right now. And the Holy Spirit is moving right now. You can't see it. You may not know it. But the Holy Spirit right now is moving upon the waters. Trying to convict. Trying to attract. Trying to compel. And then God, after moving through his Spirit, then said, and let there be light. And the light shone. So before the word of God was ever spoken, the Spirit of God was already moving. And just like that, there are always light waves in this room that you cannot detect. God's Spirit is always moving. And once you get on the right channel, and once you get on the right frequency, suddenly there is illumination. And that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God begins to calibrate your spirit so that you begin to see illumination. Even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of bills are stacking up on the table, even in the midst of sickness racking my body, I see nothing but darkness. But then the Word of God begins to illuminate and says that with his stripes that I am healed. The Word of God begins to illuminate and tell me that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God begins to illuminate in the midst of the darkness, and you begin to realize that the light of God was with me the whole time. I just didn't realize it. So, since Satan could not stop the light from shining, the only thing now he can do is refraction, which means distort the light, to bend the light, to alter the path by which the light travels and gets to our eyes. And so what the devil has been doing in your situation, since he can't stop Jesus from shining your life, he couldn't stop you from coming to church. He couldn't stop you from maybe trying to get in the Word. What he'll try and do is refract or redirect the light so it goes over your eyes so that you don't see. He'll distort it with bad teaching. He'll distort it with presuppositions. He'll distort it with the traditions of men so that when the light of God's Word is being read, it goes over your head and you don't see truth. He tries to distort the truth. He tries to distort the situation to make you think that you're a loser when actually you're the victor. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. He tries to alter your perception so that you can't see clearly. But I want to serve him notice today that I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. And it's going to be a bright, bright shining day. That weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Morning may not be necessarily when the sun comes up. Morning starts when you wake up out of sleep and you realize, I've got the victory. I've got the victory. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. I've got a light inside of me that the devil has tried to extinguish. He's tried to snuff it out with problems. He's tried to blow it out with all sorts of situations. But no matter what he did, he could not extinguish the fire of the Holy Ghost that was inside of me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God, even now by his Spirit, as he was moving upon the waters in Genesis, is even now calling you, beckoning you, bidding you, beseeching you, pleading with you, attracting you to come out of darkness, come out of the lies that the enemy has told you, come out of the situation that the enemy has been used to keep you imprisoned. He wants you to come out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Luke 11 verse 33 says, no man when he hath lighted a candle putteth in a secret place, neither under a bushel put but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Now, notice here the comparison. First off, the Bible says that if your eye is single, that you'll be full of light. It contrasts a single eye with an eye that is evil. So that would only mean the opposite side of a single eye is a divided eye. That a divided eye, an eye that's looking at two masters, an eye that's looking at multiple objectives and primary and priorities, is an eye that God calls evil. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24 that no man can serve two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other. He will despise one, hallelujah, and hate the other. No man can serve both God and mammon. God wants you to devote your attention to him, to put your eye on him. And when you do so, the Bible says that your whole body will be full of light. Light so powerful that devils will be scared to touch you. Light so powerful that when you walk into your job, that the devil starts to run out. That the employees begin to notice. Because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. The Bible tells me in 1 Thessalonians, it tells me that when Jesus comes, that he's going to destroy the Antichrist by the brightness of his coming. You know what the brightness of his coming is? It's the Holy Spirit inside of me. His presence that dwells inside of me. The brightness that's inside of me destroys all that the enemy is trying to throw against me. Hallelujah. There's nothing that can extinguish or put out the light. Walk in the light. Don't walk in darkness. Don't walk in ignorance. Don't walk under the prison that Satan has put in your life. Walk in the light and be children of the light. Trying to quit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He is my light in the midst of dark times. He is my GPS. He is my lighthouse in troubled waters. When I cannot see my way, he illuminates. For thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible said in Psalm 119 verse 133, order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That God's word orders my steps and brings me light, that I can see the devil that I'm stomping on. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.